Across Tamworth and the Northwest Slopes and Plains, you're waking up to 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley.
That's exactly right. And we're back. And Tony's just making her way into the studio. She's got another big story by the look of it. She's looking at her phone as we speak, coming in. This is like shades of yesterday when you were doing that. Is there another big story happening?
No, not really. Oh. Sorry, I'm just catching Insta? Up on some reading. No.
Insta? I don't do Insta. What did you think of the movie last night?
Oh, I thought it was excellent.
Yeah, we went and saw Slim and I, and it was really... sensational, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest and say that I went into that like pretty blind. I was like, I know Slim's a country music artist from Australia, and that's the limit of my knowledge prior to the film. Now, I reckon I could bluff my way through being an expert.
Well, you don't have to bluff your way because you are an expert now, because it was a very comprehensive look at him. And how about Joy? How good is she?
Yeah, what an incredible partnership. And, I mean, she said that as well in one of her interviews, but it honestly was, because – and her candor at telling the story, even, you know, the bits that maybe – aren't her favorite memories, but it included everything. It was incredible to see. Yeah, it was really great.
How many stars would you give it out of five?
Probably a 4.5.
It's a real good solid 4.5, isn't it? We're not just saying that. It's called Slim and I. It's on over at the Forum 6, I think. Oh, look, we're going to have some tickets to give away from it for it next week.
Yeah.
I've already got them, but I'm waiting for Sal to come back, because I don't do that without Sal.
Yeah, look,
I know, we're pretty tight. Yeah, that's right. Well, we're a team, you know. We're like the Penny Panthers, you know. We're all for one.
No, honestly, it was great.
It was really incredible.
And just beautiful to see some like old footage of Australia as well. And my lordy lord, did they go around Australia. Like, I feel embarrassed that I've seen like nothing.
But they saw it like when it was fairly inaccessible in these old cars with caravans on dirt roads. And they were saying, Chad Morgan, who was the Gulf of Vuk, you probably don't, I don't know whether you know Chad Morgan. He's aka the Sheik of Scrubby Creek.
Yeah.
So he still performs. He's well into his 80s now, I think, Chad. And he still performs and he still tours. And he said, you know, you just had like drive into the river and hope for the best. There wasn't any bridges or anything. The road was a dirt road, and it just went straight through a river, and you'd go, all right, through we go.
Yeah.
And they'd get stuck and they'd have to push it out, or the they'd get rained in for a week at places because the roads were inaccessible. It was just and looking back on it, you know, that they must think that was the best time of their lives, I reckon. I was watching that going,
100%.
I bet they look back on that, all the dramas they had and everything. They were in towns with no electricity.
There's so many kind of, even if you're not maybe a massive country music fan, why are you listening to this station? No, just kidding. But also...
come back.
There's so many stories in like... so many things you can take from the movie, like overcoming adversity and following your dreams and, you know, just really working to get somewhere, and how perceptions change over time. Joy was saying that they really kind of felt like they were viewed as hillbillies and not popular. And you look at the end and you just see the extraordinary success, and it's like, you know what?
8 million album sales just in
Australia.
If you love
something,
that's incredible, you go for isn't it? Yeah. 8 million. Unbelievable. And I thought even just and she only appeared probably in the first 20 minutes, but I thought Heather McKean, her sister, almost stole the show, didn't she?
She was
She's
so funny.
She's a ripper, isn't she?
Yeah. Plus, I mean, if you really like Keith Urban, there is some vintage footage of him in snakeskin tight pants and long wavy hair. I mean, it's all happening. There's something for everyone.
He's still Billy Gear and Keith Urban looking, well, almost androgynous in his...
Yeah. Something for everyone.
I don't know. The Americans must have liked that when they picked him up, or someone tapped him on the shoulder and said, tone it down a bit, mate. Just cut the hair just a bit and, you know, get some, like, you're good. You got the talent. But I don't know about this whole 70s glam rock thing you got going on here.
There was one shot where I thought, damn, he's given Nicole Kidman a run for her money.
I know, you said that to me.
Blonde hair. I was like, luscious locks. Yeah, hello.
Yeah, there you go. That's how he started, the old Keith from Queensland. So, yeah, look, we urge you all to go see that because it is a fantastic thing. Not only will you be supporting a great local business in the Forum 6 cinemas, and, you know, I was thinking this morning as I was driving into work, as I do, because I think when I'm driving, do my best thinking on the, you know, on the can and when I'm driving. If you don't support, you know, your local movie theatre, it's going to be gone. And they've done it as tough as any business over the last sort of 6 to 8 months while we've been dealing with the COVID thing. They were shut down completely for a long time, the cinemas, and they're only just starting to get back on their feet now. So we actually watched some trailers. We watched some trailers beforehand, and Tony's had to go. He's got some. There's a big news story breaking, I reckon, because Tony's just walked out. We've had to. They've had to do that. So we sat there and watched the trailers, and we said, "All right, we're going to go to one of these movies. There's one of these movies in these trailers that we're going to go to because that is it." So I'm going to watch Rams. It's got Michael Caton in it and Sam Neill. And it looks like a really good old-fashioned Aussie film. You know, Michael Caton, of course, from The Castle. What about The Serenity? There's only one thing he liked better than Serenity, and that was the sound of a two-stroke at full throttle. So we're going to see that, Tony. Oh, look, she's back. What was that? Is it something
no,
exciting?
No, it's not something exciting.
Was it something exciting?
Just a small issue had to fix for our stations in Armidale and
Gunnedah. Oh, okay. No, I see. You're carrying them as well as me. You're carrying them. Yeah, I was just saying, going to see Rams, that movie with Sam Neill and
you said
and
that about
Michael
every
Caton.
Every movie that was advertised last night. Going to see that.
Yep, correct. Going to see that one. Yep.
Honestly, Rams looks tennis. Very funny though as well.
The Rams did look like a good man, and like, what's not funny about Michael Caton? You know, he's a scream in this castle, and I assume he'll be the same. What's happening in the news this morning?
In the news, well, there is a new silo art that's being set to be painted in Gunnedah.
Okay,
it's the Dorothea McKellar painting on the side of the maize silos.
The sunburnt country. That's Dorothea McKellar, isn't it?
Yes. However, there's an issue because. We can't get the artist here. So the artist is based in Melbourne and they've been commissioned to do this work, but they're not getting a border exemption to come and do the work. So there's a bit of argy-bargy going on right now about that, but they're hoping it'll be done in time for Christmas.
What's your whole take on this border closures and things? Is it a little bit overkill, or is it just that we've never done this before, so we're erring on the side of caution, or...
I understand.
Or should they be closed at all? Should we be Australia, or are we? Should we be the states? Or
I honestly can see it from both sides.
Yeah.
I do think that Western Australia is a different case to Queensland, Victoria, New South Wales. Mm-hmm. The integration or basic non-existence of our borders on this east coast makes it a different story. Mm. Barely anybody drives into Western Australia.
Correct.
So I can understand it from their point of view because their economy is, you know, much more open because they have that in place.
Yeah.
However, with Queensland, Victoria, New South Wales, we've had this fluid amount of, you know, everything is interlaced.
Well,
so,
it's the east coast, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I understand with Melbourne that the case is exploding, it needed to happen, but there will become a time where it's got to open up again. And I have honestly never agreed with the New South Wales Premier more than her statement last night. She was on a few news bulletins saying, in a pandemic, it is just not going to happen that we will have 28 days with no community transmission until we have a vaccine, until it's over. So how long is this going to go for? Is it going to go for forever?
The cynics say till after the Queen's election. So I hope that doesn't happen. I hope
Mind
if Anastasia
you,
wins the election, she doesn't then open the borders and say, "Well, it's all good now." That would be.
She did say yesterday.
Be a bad move. Well,
she wasn't going to reset the 28-day clock just yet. She's going to look and see what happens.
The vice captain said that too.
So that sounds a little bit more understanding, if you ask me. However, we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, I do understand them closing it when the crossroads happened, because that was the beginning of, like, you know, a very widespread.
Could have been anything, because that's a big commuting hotel and everything, that one. And
exactly.
Melbourne to Brisbane, they stop there. Yeah.
However, for things like, you know, we had some contractors come up here and do infrastructure work from Melbourne that was very important and needed. Now, some people might beg to differ that art on a silo isn't necessarily the same human need. However, having art and culture and reminders of our culture, employing an artist and having something that's going to attract people to this regional town is important on so many levels, and comes through, like, the economy in so many levels. It's going to bring people to town. It's got artists having work. It's got the local people feeling proud of this building that, you know, if you go to Gunnedah, that Maid's Mill, it's quite, you know, there. You see it all over Gunnedah. To have it turned into something that is not only, like, representative of Australian history and the town's culture, that's so important. It might not be as, you know, obvious as fixing a water tower, but it's important in those less visible kind of ways. So I think that they should be allowed to, you know, have a border pass to come work.
Is it as simple? I don't know if it's a male artist or not. Can the artist just quarantine for 14 days? And
that's what the council and the Memorial Society are hoping to do. Yeah. Something going on there, though, with the bureaucracy.
Oh, we'll have to check out that. Well, thank you very much. You speak with passion, as always. I love that. And we'll go and listen to what else you've got in the news right now.
Right now.
Get your day underway with 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley on Tamworth's own 1287 2TM.
You know those Ring video camera doorbells? You can get a lot of them over in America now. And there's some great stories coming out of them now. Covina in California, residents are being warned about two guys going door to door claiming they're raising money for Covina High School football team. Unfortunately, the pair unknowingly knocked, you guessed it, on the door of the football coach, who knew they weren't members of his team. And it's all captured. You think I'm just joking, but it's all captured on one of those Ring video doorbell things. In the encounter captured on Ring video, one of the alleged scammers told the homeowner, "Me and my partner here, we're raising money for Covina High School football, and we're working really hard, sir." The coach replied by saying, "Well, it's funny you should bring that up, because I know for a fact you guys don't go to Covina, because I'm the football coach." The scammer went on to claim that he was a running back on the football team. The homeowner then asked him to name the head coach. They couldn't, and eventually left. Covina High School Football tweeted out on the video of the incident and said the pair was not with the program and nor did they go to school there.
Get your day underway with 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley on Tamworth's own 1287 2TM.
Were you a winner or a loser out of the budget? It really annoys me how we're talking about winners and losers in the budget. Oh, there's nothing in it for women. Yes, there is. There's heaps in it for women. Oh, we need more childcare. Well, we got by. My wife and I got by when I had four kids. Four of them. Count them. They were sharing bedrooms. We had to buy a people mover. We weren't relying on the government for a handout to get our childcare. We just got it done somehow. There seems to be a real age of entitlement these days, I reckon. We need better childcare. It should be free. No, it shouldn't. If you choose to have kids, then that's what you choose. That's the bed you've made for yourself. Then you got to lie in it. That's my opinion. That's what I did. We were working our absolute dates out. And literally eating the dates off the calendar as well back in the day. And look, we got it done. We got by. There's no good time to have kids, is there? People say to me, when should we have kids? Because we haven't got the money just yet. Just have them. Just have them. You're never going to have the money. If you want kids, don't have four. But realistically, what is the budget other than an estimate of where we're going to spend our money this year? And what we've seen over this COVID-19 crisis, what we've seen is all the jobs dry up. So what this budget rightly does is concentrate on trying to get people back into work. And it also concentrates on young people, getting young people in work. And we've heard over and over again during this COVID-19 crisis that the young people are the most affected because they're the ones that are working casual jobs. They're the ones that are in the hospitality industry. They're the ones that are in all the areas that were shut down most. So they've been so badly affected. So the government does a budget that's slanted towards getting young people back into work. And then we get, well, there's nothing for the old people in it. Like, what about older workers? What about the women? Like, the women are human beings, right? You don't get, you know, there should be more for men as well. You know, it's people. We've got to stop worrying about whether we're winners or losers out of this budget and just get on with it. I think they've done a fairly good job. Of course, there's going to be some holes in it. But I really resent some of these, you know, people coming and kicking holes in it now. Before it's even, what would you, has anyone asked any of the people kicking holes in this budget, what would you have done? What's your thing? Well, I would have put more money in. Well, where would you take that money from? Oh, we're $1 trillion in debt. Well, what should we have done? We tried to support everybody that, you know, lost their job and everyone that had reduced working hours during this whole thing. And you know what? It cost a heap of money. That's what it cost. So the budget's trying to do their best to do that. Oh, but you're assuming that that there's going to be a vaccine by the middle of next year. Well, I'm assuming that too. I do Vaccine Watch here every Monday, and I'm assuming it's going to be. You know who else is assuming that? The World Health Organization. It's a very heroic prediction. Well, what do you want them to do? You know, I just don't get how we're always trying to knock each other down at the moment.
Tamworth Zone, 1287 2TM and 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley.
Have you ever heard of Baba Vanga? She's the Bulgarian mystic that died a few years ago. She's like the modern day Nostradamus. Well, all of her fans are coming out this morning and saying, she's foretold that the US president would suffer from a mysterious illness in 2020, which will leave him deaf and with a brain tumour. It was confirmed on October 2 that Donald Trump had COVID-19. Some of her other predictions were Brexit, 9/11 and the tsunami in Thailand. She's said to have been making predictions right up until her death in 1996. Well, how come she didn't predict COVID-19? Surely that's a big enough worldwide thing. Oh, that's a mystery illness from the president. I don't think so. The psychic grew up on a farm in what is now Macedonia and was blinded in a dust storm. This, her fans claim, was what gave her a second sight, which enabled her to predict future events, some of which have been uncannily accurate. Some of which. In a 1989 prediction, she said, horror, horror, the American brothers will fall after being attacked by the steel birds. The wolves will be howling in a bush and innocent blood will be gushing. That's been translated as the horrific terror attack, of course, at 9/11 on the Twin Towers. She never wrote any of her own predictions down, but they took her so seriously in Bulgaria that the Bulgarian government put her on the state payroll and paid some bloke to write down everything she said. And not everything she's predicted has been right. The president's illness was at one point meant to happen in 2019. And a nuclear war she had penciled in, she'd only penciled this in, from 2010 to 2014 failed to materialise. Yet they're all saying, oh yeah, mystery illness. There's no mystery about it. It's a worldwide pandemic. For goodness gracious sakes. And another thing, why is she calling them the two big silver birds clashing into the two brothers? She died in 1996. We had aeroplanes. And I think the World Trade Center was built in 1971 or something like that. Oh, the two big... It's not Nostradamus. I'm calling shenanigans on the whole thing.
Wake up and face the day with 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley. Tamworth Zone, 1287 2TM.
And it's high time we went to the States now, found out what's going on over there in the good old US of A, apart from a whole lot of anti-maskers led by that bloke that's leading the whole country. Edensburg, Pennsylvania. Police say an Edensburg man is facing charges for impersonating a Department of Homeland Security officer and brandishing a gun to a Walmart shopper who wasn't wearing a mask. That's taking the law into your own hands. It's just so good we don't have guns, isn't it? According to the Cumbria Township Police Department, 72-year-old Michael Buglio has been charged for impersonating a public servant and making terroristic threats with intent to terrorise another. Officers were called after a woman reported that an older man had approached her while she was shopping. He told her he was an officer with the Department of Homeland Security, brandished a gun and said, "It would be in your best interest if you wore a mask." According to the complaint, the woman told police she had only taken the mask off for a minute because she was having trouble breathing, and that's when Buglio approached her. He also yelled something else at her as she walked away, which she didn't quite catch, but she's not sure what it was. They're hoping to pick that up. Police say a Walmart employee told officers that Buglio had told a manager that he had shown a customer his gun and told her to put a mask on. They say Buglio left his business card, not his Homeland Security one, just his normal business card, which completely identified him, and they went round and arrested him. Meanwhile, over in Vadnais Heights, a youth hockey association and Ramsey County are examining their weapons policies. Can you believe this? The youth hockey association is examining their weapons policy. They got a weapons policy after a father with a rifle hanging on his shoulder walked his young son into to ice hockey practice. Law enforcement officers were called to the TCO Sports Garden in response to a weapons complaint, and a report about the incident says the matter was referred to the city attorney.
"I just want to make sure my son was getting the starting lineup for this weekend. We don't have a problem with that, do you? I take it nobody has a problem with that." "Oh, no, no, no. He can be captain if he wants to be."
That's what's happening in the USA.